Thank you, worship team. Thanks for leading us in prayer. Let's continue by praying to the Lord this morning, shall we? Father, you are beautiful. We proclaim that. We acknowledge that. We know that. And God, we've seen how you've worked in each one of our lives, even throughout this summer. And God, throughout this year, throughout our life. So God, we come and we proclaim you as Lord, and we know that you're Lord. You're beautiful. Your grace abounds to each one of us. Lord, we could give examples of how your grace has overwhelmed us at times. God, we are so grateful for that. We're so grateful we can come and come together as your people and pray for each other. And Lord, we know that there are many, many concerns and many health needs among us. And Father, we pray for them today. We think of Ed Dole's son-in-law, Rick, who's in the hospital with blood clots in his neck. And God, we pray for Rick. We pray, God, that you give to the doctors wisdom as they treat him. And Lord, may you even just become real to Rick, and may he sense your presence and know your presence. God, we think of Ed and Vera this morning, and I'm sure, God, that they're concerned, and so we pray for them. We pray that, God, you give to Ed and Vera your peace, your comfort. Lord, we think of Edna Wright, and we pray for her, and we pray for her husband, and for Hugh, and God, we pray that you just be very close to Brian and Margaret as well. Lord, again, that you give the doctors wisdom as they treat Edna. And the same for Doug. We pray, God, for Doug Cooper. And Lord, we pray that for Henry Neeson and for Ruth and Herb and Lori and Connie Williams and Megan. God, we pray that you would give in each situation the doctor's wisdom. And we pray that you would, Lord, heal where healing needs to happen and occur. And God, that you would even touch those family members and give them courage and strength. And Lord, we not only can think of health needs, we think of those who are grieving. And we think of the Hewitt and the Stobie families. God, we pray that you would comfort them and that you'd use our arms to give comfort. And Lord, we think of the Kofin family as well, and we pray for them. And Father, there's so many needs that we can pray for. And it doesn't stop here, God. This is just the beginning of what we can pray about. God, we can pray about the vision that you have for this place. And God, we do. We lay it before you, and we pray that your will be done. And Father, we lay out our very lives before you, and we pray that your will be done. And God, we come to you, our Savior, our Comforter, our Protector, our God, our Lord. We want nothing more than to live lives that are pleasing to you. God, help us to do that. Not just today, but throughout this week, throughout this year, throughout this month. God, help us to live lives that are pleasing to you. We think of Quindle and Marilyn, and we pray for them, and we're thankful for them and for their ministry. And God, we pray that you continue to empower them as they serve you. God, thank you for them. Lord, it's so good to be back among family. And we just pray that now as we worship you in your word, that you would just remove our hearts from all the clutter and our minds from all the things that would consume us. God, so we can hear from you today. We just pray this in the powerful name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So how are you all? Great. Have you had fun summer so far? Okay. Great. Well, I recall a story from a holiday time that we had as a family, and we always have wonderful adventures on our holidays. It just seems like that. We travel along, and while we look for the next supermarket, we keep travel on, and we look for that place where we can refresh ourselves once again with some good old American packaged food. And you know what I'm talking about. You know, cookie crisps, cereal, jelly bellies, you know, diet vanilla Dr. Pepper, you know. I mean, this is all part of the holiday, trying all these new ideas and marketable products, all the while holding your stomach from hurting. Well, we went into this market and we purchased some wonderful food for our supper. I mean, Joan, she's great. I mean, she got all this stuff together. I mean, she picked up some irregular foods, things that, you know, aren't really necessary on holidays, like tomatoes, cucumbers, onions, you know, loaf of bread, you know. But we also helped her out with the necessary staples, you know, like Milky Way dark chocolate bars, Twix cereal, Twinkies, zebra cakes, chocolate ho-hos. Now, that's a holiday, you know. And I, being the wonderful, kind, compassionate husband that I am, I held the cart still while Joan placed all the packages in, and I wheeled it to the car. And I opened the car door for her, and she got in, and I handed the packages to her, and away we went. Driving as cautiously as you can drive while you drool, we arrived to our destination, and we took our packages inside, and while opening our packages, kind of like Christmas gifts on Christmas morning, I said, "Hey, how come you bought such nice shaved Black Forest ham? Was it on sale?" Joan startled. She kind of went, "What?" And I said, "Well, what about the salami? Whoa, this salami looks good." "What?" And then I continued. I said, "What about the shaved beef? What about this package of corned beef? Man, you went crazy." Joan looked at me and quickly placed everything back in the bag. Said, "We need to go back to the store." I simply listened at that point. You guys know what I'm talking about. Helping her bag everything up again, drooling, I just kept wondering if this was just to add to the suspense of eating. Then she said, "We've got somebody else's groceries." We piled in the car with the kids and the groceries and began to set for, I don't know, it seemed like 20-minute drive back to the grocery. Did such a great job of talking to that store manager that when she came back to the car, she simply said, "The groceries are officially ours." The owner came back, the store replaced their lot. They said, "We may as well just keep it. We've got the right stuff." Have you ever wondered? Have you ever wondered if you've ever got the right stuff? Have you ever had that question? I'm not talking about groceries or packages, but in your life, have you ever wondered if you got the right stuff? We're going to talk about the right stuff this morning, and it's my prayer that we as Christians would understand that we have the right stuff right now. That there's a little passage in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and you can just kind of note these words with me. Quickly note these words with me. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16, and these words say, "Be joyful always." Now, that's kind of sickening, but it's there. "Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. Test everything. Hold on to the good. Avoid every kind of evil." In fact, some translations say, "Hold on." It says, "Avoid every kind of evil by doing good." The way we avoid evil is by serving and by ministering. And people ask me, like at the camp this week, people were asking me, "Man, you seem like you got it all together." I said, "Oh, if you only knew, you know." And no, you seem excited and happy all the time. You know, and I talked about that passage briefly with them, and people said, "How can I do that?" It's because we need to remember the right stuff. And I want you to turn to Colossians chapter 2. This is where I want us to sit this morning, is Colossians chapter 2. And I want us to look at this great little, two little verses here. Colossians chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. And I just want to, that's where I want to head. Colossians 2, 13 and 14. "When you were dead in your sins And in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the written code with its regulations that was against us and that stood opposed to us. He took it away, nailing it to the cross. Wow. See, this little passage, the book of Colossians, comes to our rescue today. God took it, canceled our debt, took it all, forgave our sin, destroying it by nailing it to Christ's cross. I love the story of a man who came home from work. He picked up the paper. He settled into his favorite chair for a few precious and well-deserved moments. Has that ever happened to you guys? And he just kind of sit down. I need a bit of solitude after our long day's work. And he just begun to relax. His son burst through the front door, spotted his dad. The little boy raced across the room. He flung himself against his father's knees and he said, "Daddy, I love you." The father gave him a pat on the head and said rather absentmindedly, "Yeah, son, I love you too." Yeah. Picking up his paper again, he's reading. The boy wasn't satisfied with that. Leaned a little further into the newspaper barricade and he said, "Daddy, I really, really love you." Man took a deep breath, put the paper down, hugged the little boy and said, "Yes, son, I love you just as much, I do." Again, picked up the paper, resumed reading. Finally, the little boy couldn't stand it any longer. He jumped on his father's lap, crushing the newspaper. Any thoughts of dad ever relaxing that dad might have had? "Son, what is it that you want?" And in response, the boy threw his arms around his dad and he gave him a big squeeze and he proclaimed, "I love you so much, Daddy, that I've just got to do something about it." That's exactly what God said to Jesus. "Son, I love them so much that I just have to do something about it." And then he sent his one and only perfect son to earth where he would live and die for you and for me. God's love is an unconditional love. A love with no strings attached. A love worth celebrating. In fact, that's what communion is all about. It's to remind us of love. The unconditional love of our Savior. But somehow we forget the right stuff. As Christians, somewhere along the line, we lose that lap-hugging love and we forget to love. We forget to give away the very thing that God did for us. In fact, Mark 16 says, "Proclaim the good news to everyone, everywhere." Do you like good news? How many like good news? Come on, put your hands. Do you like good news? All right, the rest of you don't enjoy good news. I took note of that. Everybody likes good news. Now, how many of you like to share good news? Come on, let's see your hands. Come on. How many of you like to do that? All right. Most people like to share it. In fact, in the Seeger's household, we kind of compete for that. Who's going to share the good news? It's fun sharing good news. I know what you're thinking. Wait a minute. The people with I work with, I mean, my friends, they're not interested in good news. I want to tell you that you're wrong. They're not interested in religion, but they're interested in good news. The problem is not that your friends and your co-workers aren't interested. The problem is that we've forgotten how good the good news really is. See, once you've been a Christian for a while, you forget how miserable it was to live without hope. You forget what it's like to worry about when you die, where you're going to go. You forget what it's like to live without purpose, to have guilt, to have fear, regrets, and bitterness, and boredom in your life before Christ brought meaning, purpose, and significance. What happens is, the longer you're a Christian, the more you tend to just kind of take for granted how good the good news really is. I believe we tend to take that for granted, the right stuff. It's so incredible what right stuff we as Christians already have. We have this right stuff, and it's all wrapped up, it's all contained right within these two verses of Colossians. That God made you alive with Christ. He forgave all our sins. He canceled the record that contained the charges against us. He took it and destroyed it by nailing it to Christ's cross. When I trust my life to Jesus Christ, there's some incredible fabulous, wonderful benefits in my life. They are so numerous. I know this is a review for many of you, but I want to go over it again. I just want to go over it one more time with you. And I may go over it one more time with you again in a few years. I don't know. This is what we need to share with other people. When you tell people what it means to be a believer, it's about many things in your life. But I'm just going to give you just a few. For some of you, you're new here to First. You're going to get this for the very first time. Others of you, you've heard it, but today it's going to sink in for the first time. When you trust Jesus Christ with your life, these wonderful things occur. He takes care of you. The first thing is I want you to know that God made you alive. God made you alive. How many of you were wondering if you're alive today? Come on. Some of you, I was there. Let me in on something. I want to let you in on something. You are alive. Amen? How many of us have heard this comment in a movie or somewhere, you've heard somebody, or even from a close friend, maybe acquaintance, said, I just wish I could feel alive once again. I wish I could feel like I was living, like I was making a difference. Many people desire to be alive. Many people want to make a difference. That's our world. As Christians, we are alive with Christ. We're alive. In fact, say this with me. I'm alive in Christ. Say that with me. I am alive in Christ. Oh boy, you've got it. You've got it. You didn't even say that like dead people. You said it like you were alive. We're alive in Christ. That word alive, that keeps me going. It gives me strength when I feel weak. It gives me encouragement when I feel alone. It grants me peace in the middle of turmoil. I'm alive in Christ. That's right stuff. Secondly, look at this verse. He forgave all our sins. I get forgiveness from my past. What a benefit. I get forgiveness. If we were to take everything that you've ever done or said or ever thought, make a movie of it, and show it on the screen here to everybody, you'd probably be nervous. You'd maybe even embarrassed. So would I. Because nobody is 100%. Nobody's perfect. Everybody's blown it. Everybody makes mistakes. Everybody has skeletons in the closet, things that wish they'd never happened. And God comes along and he says, when you trust Jesus Christ with your life, I take that movie, I rip it up, and I burn it. I take everything you've ever done, and I wipe the slate clean, and the screens are erased. In fact, you know, when I reach heaven, and there's a screening of my life in that movie theater, I want my mother to be in the front pew. Because when it's just blank, I'm going to say to her, see? Good news. I know a lot of people, all the time, I know a lot of people walking around, they lament this, but they're paralyzed by their past. Even Christians are like that. Even if there was no such thing as heaven, it would be worth it just to have a clear conscience to say, it's wiped out, it's gone. That's right stuff. God is good. Okay, thank you. My Bible says, it goes on and says, he canceled the record that contained the charges against us. He takes care of everything. He gives me a purpose for living right now, right here, right now. God has created you. You are not an accident. You're not here just to take up space, but you're never going to know God's purpose for your life until you first get to know God. A lot of Christians don't really care to know God. Last week I had the privilege, honor speaking at family camp, again at the Quest. What a terrifically tiring time. I simply enjoyed it. It was amazing. And I have to tell you, there's many stories I could tell you, but one of the stories that kind of stands out is, there's a number, but one mother couldn't find her son, who was in exactly the same spot that she told him to stay in when she left. Make sense? It doesn't, does it? So I saw it with my own eyes. This lady, she turned to her son. I just happened to be walking along the pathway. She turned to her son and she said, wait here, I'm going to find your brother. And off she went. And so I, you know, I said, little guy, I'll wait with your, you know, with you till your mom comes back and returns. And so we chat a little bit and everything. And I'm serious. I felt like we were sitting there for 20 minutes. You know, I was trying to find things. How do you like school? It's okay. How are you feeling? Great. Do you like it out here? Yep. What's the funnest part? Everything. You know, there's everything. And then all of a sudden we heard in the distance. There's this little guy and I said, wait a minute. Isn't that your mom's voice? She said, yeah. She's looking for me again. I said, didn't she just leave you? Yep. Happens all the time, he said. See, she thought that her little guy here was her older son, and she was searching for her younger son, although he was still sitting there while the older... I'm not making sense. But that's how often we are as believers. God has this tremendous plan for us if we would just stay still long enough to hear him. He never moves, but we run all over the place. We're calling out, Lord! Lord, where are you? Where? And he says, oh yeah, there goes Seegers again, looking for me all over. Why don't you just come to me? See, trying to discover why you're here, where you came from, where you're going, none of that's going to make sense till you know God. When we get to know God, you're going to know who you are. When you figure out God, you're going to figure out yourself, because God made you, and God made you for a reason. Amen? John 10:10, Jesus said, I came so that you might have life and have it to the fullest. He didn't say, I have come so that you could have some kind of religious institution. He said, I've come so that you might fully live, be alive. We get up in the morning, eat breakfast, get dressed. Some of us go to work, come home, watch TV, go to bed, over and over and over and over and over. And maybe we relax on weekends, and maybe we go on vacation or two, and then we say, I'm living. No, you're not. You're existing. You're meant for far more than that. You're meant for far more than that. God has a mission. God has a reason for your life, a purpose for you being here right now, but you're never going to know it until you get to know Him. Elderly couple, I've got to tell you this story. Is that okay? This couple were celebrating their 60th anniversary, and the couple had married as childhood sweethearts, and they moved back to their old neighborhood after they retired, and they were holding hands, they were walking back to their old school. And their old school was locked, and so they entered, and they found the old desk in their old school, in which they shared, where Andy had carved, I love you, Sally. And on their way back home from school, a bag full of money fell out of an armored car, practically landing at their feet. And Sally quickly picked it up, but not sure what to do. They took it home. There she counted the money. $50,000. Andy said, well, we've got to give it back. Sally said, finders keepers. And she put the money in the back of the bag and she hid it in the attic. Went upstairs. Next day, two FBI men were canvassing the neighborhood looking for the money. Knocked on their door. Pardon me, ma'am, but did either of you find a bag that fell out of an armored car yesterday?
No. No.
Andy said, she's lying. She headed up in the attic. Sally said, don't believe him. He's getting senile. The agents turned to Andy and began to question him and said, all right, tell us the story from the beginning. So Andy said, well, when Sally and I were walking home from school yesterday, FBI guy said, we're out of here. That's it. We're finished. We're done. Spend time with God. Get to know God. Know Him. Know who you are by spending time with Him. Finally, the right stuff also includes our future as Christians. That's a home in heaven. I call it God's retirement plan, but it's more than that, because you're not going to retire. We're going to enjoy heaven. See, there's great stuff. That the Lord says, I'll give you a home in heaven. Most people hope that they're going to heaven, but they're not sure. Hope isn't good enough. There's only one way that you can get into heaven. Only one way. And that's by somebody else. And since none of us are perfect, God came to earth in human form, and that form was called Jesus Christ. He became a human being. He lived a life of perfection. He showed us how to live. He died on the cross. He paid for our sin. And then he went back to heaven. And now you get into heaven only if you trust him. I love thinking about the right stuff. Don't you? See, our world has conditioned us not to think of the right stuff. And somehow, sometimes, we as Christians forget the right stuff. But it's all there in that Colossians 2 passage. When you were dead in your sins, and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the written code with its regulations that was against us and that stood opposed to us. He took it away, nailing to the cross. Now that's the right stuff. Amen? Amen.